on expanding and expanding in all of the directions it can whiz. As fast as it can go, at the speed of light, you know, 12 million miles a minute, and that's the fastest speed there is. So remember when you're feeling very small and insecure, how amazingly unlikely is your birth. And pray that there's intelligent life somewhere up in space, 'cause there's bugger all down here on Earth.
Okay, thank you, Eric, for that amazing lesson, and that'll be it for me today. Hopefully we'll get this show possibly more in the future, but hopefully, hey, so write to KFAI or something like that saying you want this show more, if you want. So take it away, David and Eddie and Alex and Anthony.
Bombadida, 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 bombadida,
bombadida, bombadida,
bombadida, bombadida,
bombadida, bombadida, bombadida, bombadida, bombadida,
bombadida,
bombadida, bombadida, bombadida.
Who cares about the clouds when we're together? Just sing a song and think about sunny weather.
Happy trails to you till we meet again.
Fresh Air Community Radio is KFAI FM. Minneapolis, St. Paul. Online and archived at kfai.org. It's where community grows.
Welcome back to No Borders on KFAI 90.3 FM, Minneapolis. We're going to go straight into the interview.
This week we have Seema Shakhsari here, who is going to talk a little bit about what's going on in Iran and is planning a fundraiser next week at the Afghan Cultural Society, and they will share some information about that with all of you. Thank you, Seema, for being here. Can you introduce yourself can you introduce yourself to our listeners?
Yeah, I'm Seema Shakhsari, a professor at the University of Minnesota, and I'm a member of Educators for Justice in Palestine and the Let Iran Live collective, which is organizing the fundraiser on the 20th at Afghan Cultural Society.
Great. So Seema, can you, for our listeners who don't know what's going on because they're maybe distracted about all the other ways this administration is messing our lives up, can you maybe explain a little bit about what's happening in Iran right now?
Sure. Well, as you know, on February 28th, Israel and the U.S. launched a military attack on Iran, on several provinces, and including the capital city, which was hit the hardest, and they killed the supreme leader, Sayyid Ali Khamenei, and several high-ranking officials. They also, on the same day, killed 168 school children in Minab, in the city of Minab, in the south of Iran. And, of course, in many other places, they hit infrastructure, and that continued for, I believe, 40 days. And then there was a ceasefire, seemingly ceasefire, but we know how the U.S. and Israel treat ceasefires. They don't really abide to the rules of the ceasefire. So there were several items on the ceasefire that the U.S. basically shortly after signing, actually as they were signing it, Israel continued to attack Lebanon. And one of the provisions in that ceasefire was that the U.S. and its allies, meaning Israel, have to stop bombing Lebanon. But they also violated other items on the ceasefire, including the fact that Iran was to ensure the safe passage of ships in the Strait of Hormuz. And of course, there were ships that with U.S. flags that tried to cross the Hormuz without permission from the Iranian, from IRGC. And then, you know, the Iranian military shot at them and then, you know, it escalated again. The U.S. started hitting the south really hard, hitting infrastructure, bridges between that connected the port cities by the Persian Gulf in several provinces, Hormuzgan, Bushehr, and Khuzestan, to the rest of the country. So they hit bridges, they hit hospitals, they hit water desalination plants and energy centers and so on and so forth. So really war crimes, because you're not supposed to hit infrastructure and schools. In the city of Lamert, in the first round of bombings, they also used phosphorus bombs, and they killed many teenage girls who were practicing volleyball small children as well. So, almost 4,000 Iranians have been killed, and that's really a low estimate. Even with Minab, when 168 children were killed, the bodies of many of them were not found until much later, until just a couple of weeks ago, so four months after. Yeah, and there was another funeral with just body parts. You know, it could be just one finger or the leg of a baby, of a kid, of a school kid. So it's been really devastating for many people. But at the same time, the Iranian military has really, rather than kind of, you know, just turning the other cheek, they have resisted, and they started hitting all the military bases in the Arab Gulf countries and Jordan. And I think the level of the damage that Iran caused kind of was a shock to the U.S. They thought that they were going to come in, kill the supreme leader, in their eyes, regime change, and leave, kind of like Venezuela. Mm-hmm. But that didn't happen. And the Iranian state has actually done a good job of decentralizing power. So rather that, you know, they assume that killing Sayyid Ali Khamenei meant that Iran would fall, and it didn't happen. And also the military might of the Iranian of Iran has really surprised the U.S. And of course, you know, ceasefire, people have different theories about why the U.S., you know, calls for, or Trump, I should say, calls for ceasefire one day and then starts hitting, starts bombing another day. To me, it seems like it's really a market strategy, you know, in and out, basically, for the market, for the stock market, in a sense. Of course, we know that all these U.S. wars are about profit, and none of it is about freeing anyone, whether it's in Afghanistan or Iraq or Syria or Venezuela or in Iran or elsewhere. So I think it's really all about how they can control the oil price and how they can profit from it. And at the same time, it's also, you know, they said at some point that they needed to restock their weapons. And we know that the situation with the U.S. soldiers is not that great. Yesterday, I was reading that the U.S. Navy officers on or the soldiers on the Abraham Lincoln Navy vessel were jumping. They were jumping, and they want to leave because they haven't had access to food. The U.S. has not even sent food to them. They don't have hygiene, you know, they don't even have the essentials. So the U.S. is really, in a sense, many people think that this is a defeat for the U.S., but they will not, of course, admit it. But, you know, the Hormuz Strait is really a very strategic and very important point for world economy. That's where a significant amount of oil that is exported from all the different countries including Saudi Arabia, gets in and out. So, you know, this is really causing a crisis. And I think the Trump administration has realized that they cannot sustain this for much longer. So we will see what comes out of it. But I was just reading in the news today that the Iranian military has said that the Strait of Hormuz, unlike what Trump continues to claim, they said that the Strait of Hormuz will remain closed until the wars in Lebanon and Palestine end. So we will see what comes next.
Wow. I'm definitely in solidarity with them, and I'm watching closely. And I have a question for you I actually know the answer, but for our listeners, can you tell them why there are some Iranians who support this war, who support the U.S.?
Yeah, unfortunately, I think, you know, first of all, I have to say that it's, you know, there are different groups that might support the war, but the majority of them are monarchists, those who are loyal to the Pahlavi regime, the son of Mohammad Reza Pahlavi, who was the Shah of Iran and was dethroned in 1979 after the Iranian Revolution, when the Pahlavi dictatorship was dismantled and there was a popular revolution, and then the Islamic Republic of Iran was formed in a referendum. But of course, the revolution happened because many groups, including Marxists and, you know, Islamic nationalist groups and so on and so forth, participated. So the monarchists really have this idea of pre-revolutionary Iran to have been glorious, where, you know, the reality of it is that Iran was completely, practically a U.S. base in the region, an ally of Israel, and the Iranian revolution basically threatened all that. Iran has been a thorn in the side of the U.S. and Israel's geopolitical and expansionist agendas in the region. But the monarchists really want to reinstall the Pahlavi regime. And they basically have this idea that Trump and Netanyahu are their friends, and they really don't care what the human toll of this war is. They just want to, at any cost, they want the Islamic Republic, or as they call it, the regime, to be toppled. And that is why they're supporting this war, which is really strange if you think about it. If you really care about Iran or the Iranian people, as they claim, then, you know, you wouldn't support bombing of your own people, right, by and Israel. But, you know, again, I don't think they really care about the Iranian people. They really don't care about Iran's historical sites that have been damaged, some of them ruined by U.S. and Israeli bombers. They don't care about the infrastructure because they think of everything as regime supporters. U.S. hits 100 a school in Minab, killing 168 children, and they say, oh, you know, that is where IRGC was hiding weapons. So they justify the killing of children as that. And they also have, you know, Iran International, which is practically their, not practically for real, it's their media that is funded by the Saudis and also controlled by Israel, is producing all kind of false information. And one of the things that they did was during the protests in January, they hijacked the protests, and that has been a trend with these monarchist groups. They hijack legitimate protests of the Iranian people, whether it's the workers, whether it's the women, whether it's women, you know, whether it's protests for against inflation and the economic mafia and all that. They hijacked these protests. In the latest one in January, they even admitted that they have proxies on the ground, and they were creating so much chaos. They had had people who were attacking people with knives. They were setting people on fire. They were burning buildings and so on and so forth. So then they created, out of nowhere, one of the consultants of Reza Pahlavi and Iran International just came up with a number, 40,000 people were killed by the Iranian state. And that is, you know, a fabricated number. Basically, the Iranian state is saying that Pezeshkian was saying, yeah, maybe 3,000 or 4,000. That is not to say that that's okay. Even one person being killed is not okay, of course, right? But the fact is that they use numbers as if people are numbers that can be used in this kind of war against the Islamic Republic of Iran. And so their logic, if you talk to any monarchist and say, you know, how can you support the killing of Iranian people? They say, well, the Islamic Republic killed 40,000, so 4,000 is okay. 168 children is okay. So they really are using this really problematic logic for supporting the war against the Iranian people.
I remember when the U.S. went into Afghanistan and there were all these people from that had been displaced in the 70s and 80s from the Soviet invasion who were in support of the U.S. going because they had this dream that they were going to be able to go back to what it was 40 years earlier. And now those people, many of them have realized that this was a terrible idea. And have changed their stance on this after 20 years of bombing and $1 trillion in taxes being spent over there and millions of people being displaced from these wars. But there still were some people holding on. And like now tomorrow's the anniversary of the fall of Afghanistan. And we're seeing how the U.S. is treating the people who were their allies in that war. The people who were supporting, the people who kept their soldiers alive and like they're trying to deport them. They're arresting them and putting them in ICE detention. They're killing them in ICE detention.
Absolutely.
And so I'm hoping that these Iranians' eyes open sooner than these Afghanas' eyes open.
Yeah. Because, you know, I think the Iranian monarchists in particular also have this myth of being Aryans. So they have this desire for proximity to whiteness. And they think that, you know, Trump and Netanyahu and others look at them as equals. But we know that they don't, even with their prince, Trump called him the loser prince. You know, they don't even, for them, they don't count as human, right? For white supremacists, Iranians or Afghans or Arabs are barbarians because this is how racism works. But this delusion of thinking that, no, we are different from Afghan people, we are different from Arabs, and we are going to basically, we are equals. They don't look at people, at the Iranian people that way, no matter how hard to try, no matter how many Gucci bags they carry in their protests.
Right.
In their eyes, they're seen as basically less than human. So it's also this kind of myth of Aryanness, which, by the way, was really perpetuated and created during the Pahlavi regime, the first Pahlavi Shah Reza Khan, who basically in early 20th century was an ally of Hitler. And, you know, it's based on that idea of that we are the true Aryans, and really mixing up this kind of European scientific racist kind of ideas of race and internalizing that and thinking that, no, you know, Iranians are different. We are real Aryans. And that's part of it, too, is just this illusion of being true Aryans that is kind of making them think that Trump and all that. And it's also interesting because we know that, you know, many monarchists are deeply anti-Semitic. They're anti-Jewish people. But when it comes to the state of Israel, as we know, these kind of very unholy alliances form. We see that Christian Zionists are even more gung-ho than Jewish Zionists about the state of Israel's you know, existence and so on and so forth. So it's, I mean, it's a complicated issue, and it takes a few hours to go through this. But just this, the logic of the enemy of my enemy is my friend is really behind this alliance with the U.S. and Israel in the war against Iran.
You had mentioned something about false information being shared. Do you have any recommendations for news sources that people can follow, or people that they can follow online on social media that will give them accurate updates on what's happening in Iran?
Yeah, there is someone who is actually has been really helpful in our efforts to distribute money in Iran, Sarah from Tehran, or Sarah in Tehran, who is some kind of like we talk about her as our Bisan, you know, Palestinian journalist. And Sarah from Iran, during the bombardments of Tehran, was daily giving reports and is still doing it. And she gives a very realistic view of what's happening in Iran, in coffee shops in Iran, you know, in different places. So for social media, I would really, Sarah SG 2026, I think is their handle. And then I read the news in Farsi mostly, because news in English is so skewed and so unreliable. Even Al Jazeera, I mean, I used to read Al Jazeera, but Al Jazeera has always been anti-Iranian, right? Because there has been this kind of course, the fights between the Arab Gulf countries and Iran over the islands, the three islands. And that also has to do with British colonialism and the divide and conquer, basically, strategies. But in any case, Al Jazeera was at least, I thought, somewhat accurate about Gaza, but recently they fired 26 journalists in Gaza because, you know, the politics because of the war that is happening.
I didn't know that.
So I used to read Al Jazeera, but not anymore. I mean, for English sources, I read different news sources in Farsi, you know, be it Sharq or Isna, different news channels. But for the most part, for what's really going on in Iran, that is not news that is necessarily state-sponsored, but from ordinary people, I follow Sarah's G2026.
Okay. And then for folks who want to support the people in Iran, do you have any recommendations on how they can do that?
I mean, there are different ways to support the people in Iran. One is for those of us who live in the U.S., the most important thing is to basically call your representatives and tell them that you want this war to end, that you don't want your tax dollars to be spent on a deadly war that is killing Iranian people and Palestinians, for that matter, and Lebanese people. But, you know, if you really want to support the Iranian people, first and foremost, you should be doing your job here, because we live in the belly of the beast, right? We live in the center of the empire. So I think the most important thing would be to ask that the Congress basically stop spending so much money. We know that the military budget keeps growing, and they just allocated even more money for the war on Iran. So, you know, it doesn't matter if they're Democrats or Republicans, unfortunately, when it comes to Iran, including our own Klobuchar, Senator Klobuchar, who is still seemingly being against Trump's war. But she still refers to Iran as a terrorist state. You know, we have seen who has been terrorizing people, whether it's abroad in Iran or Afghanistan or Lebanon, or whether it's here at home, whether it's here in Minnesota, how ICE, you know, terrorized many communities, including Afghan communities, Somali communities, Latino communities, and how the police terrorizes Black people here in the U.S. or Indigenous people. But in any case, going back to what people can do, really tell them that you don't want your tax money to be spent on a war on Iran. In Minnesota, where we live in the Twin Cities, for example, we know that our cities are complicit in genocide and in these wars because of the contracts that they make. For example, City of St. Paul has a contract with Skydio, which is a surveillance camera company, and Minneapolis with the work of many activists and neighbors, you know, in World War IV. Defeated or kind of won this by not allowing a contract to be made with Skydio. But here in St. Paul, Skydio and Waterfall, both of which are Israeli companies, Waterfall in particular has control over water security, in addition to having control over security of many nuclear reactor plants in the U.S. And this company is pretty much run by IDF generals, former IDF generals who were working in the intelligence, IDF intelligence, and now are basically have this company, and many of board members are the same. And, you know, unfortunately, the city of St. Paul, despite people saying that we do not want the contract to be extended for another 5 years, they extended the contract. So what we need to do is to call our representatives, City of St. Paul, this Wednesday, we are packing the city council to tell them to cut the contract with Skydio and with Waterfall, that we don't want our tax money to go to companies that are basically supporting a genocidal state or are members of IDF. So that's one way. The other way is something that the collective that I'm a part of has been doing, which is raising funds for people in Iran who are most affected by the U.S.-Israeli war on the Iranian people. And that includes basically women, heads of families, Afghan refugees, children who are orphaned, and now people in the south, fishermen who have lost their ships, that is basically their boats, sorry, that is their source of income. So we did, when I was in the Bay Area, we organized a fundraiser, and we raised $16,000, and then we collaborated with a queer group called Grown and Thirsty, and we had another fundraiser, and they gave us $5,000 from that fundraiser, and then we have raised funds from just selling t-shirts and tote bags. So in the second round, we have raised a total of $22,000.
Wow.
And yeah, so, and, you know, just around 1,500 or 1,600 has been spent from that money to produce more t-shirts and more tote bags so that we can sell them, hopefully, in other places too. So basically, you can either go to Let Iran Live, that's the handle of our Instagram, or email us at nosanctionsproject@gmail.com. And, you know, if you would like to make a donation, all the money that you send goes to the Iranian people and Afghan people in Iran who are basically marginalized and they need money. The first round, we send the money to organizations that help people with disabilities. And our organization is one that basically houses elderly who do not have any family members. We sent money to Afghan children in south of Tehran and Shahr-e-Rei. We sent money to orphan children. And then a women's mutual aid group in Isfahan. And then the second round, we have been sending most of them, some in Tehran, but most of the money is going to families in different southern cities, Hengam, Qeshm, and Bandar Abbas so far. But hopefully more cities such as Hormuz and other cities that where people need money as well. So, yeah, those are some ways that you can help. Let Iran Live is our handle. And then if you go to our bio or link tree, you will see a link that says order T-shirts. You can order T-shirts or tote bags. But if you don't want to order T-shirts and tote bags, just scroll down and you'll see our QR codes to make a donation.
Support for KFAI comes in part from First Avenue, presenting Trish Toledo at the Turf Club, Thursday, August 27th. Trish Toledo is a young artist with an old-school sound, a musical time traveler who reinvents early 60s pop and soul ballads with modern fire and fortitude.
Exploring classic catalogs, Trish selects songs based on how the themes most faithfully mirror on her own life experiences. Opening the show is Rudy Dionda.
More information about Trish Toledo at the Turf Club is available at first-avenue.com.
Programming on KFAI is brought to you in part by The Dakota, presenting Cecile McLaurin-Salvant, Friday, September 4th. Visual artist, composer, and jazz chanteuse, Cecile McLaurin-Salvant brings her latest release, Every Breath I Take, to the Dakota stage. Filled with smoky, sultry vocals, Cecile McLaurin-Salvant brings the new emotion and narration to newly arranged songs from Stephen Sondheim, Cy Coleman, Noel Coward, Duke Ellington, Billy Strayhorn, and more. More information about Cecile McLaurin-Salvant at the Dakota is available at dakotacooks.com.
And also they could come to our fundraiser if they're local.
Yes, that's very important. Yes, if you live in the Twin Cities or in Minnesota, come to our fundraiser on August 20th at the Afghan Cultural Society, which our wonderful friends, Nasreen and other people at ACS, have basically generously provided the space for us. We will have a wonderful program. We have local poets, Sagira Shahid, Sana Wazwaz, and Christine Harp, you know, a Black Muslim poet, and two Palestinian poets who will be reading their poetry. We will have music by Yalla Drums and hopefully another musical band. We are still trying to figure out if they can perform or not. And then there will be a silent auction, wonderful art by our local artists, such as our own Katayun Amjadi, who makes beautiful ceramic art. And then we have lithograph arts by Keto Nazarian, Sarah San Pedro, many, many wonderful people. And I have to mention our wonderful T-shirts, which were designed by my very good friend of decades in the Bay Area, Julia La Chica. We have been, you know, we sold so many before that we ran out. So we made a second batch. And we made them ourselves at Spill Paint Nut Oil. And, you know, our friends at SPNO have been really wonderful in helping us make the T-shirts, more T-shirts and tote bags. So we have all that merchandise. We have canvas prints of really beautiful and nostalgic art. We have...
you forgot the most important part, Seema, the food.
Oh, I'm getting there. I'm talking first about the silent auction. You must be hungry. We also have gift certificates by wonderful people, Integrative Health in Minnesota, Minnesota Integrative Health. Our friend Saeed Al-Sayed, who is Palestinian, has also donated body work, Chinese medicine, Pilates, and sauna. We also have olive oil from Palestine, from Saeed's family farm, and zaatar and all that stuff. We have lots of good stuff, and we have food. Some of the food is donated by Caspian Restaurant and Nada Restaurant, two Iranian restaurants in Minneapolis. But we are also, Katayun and I, with the help of friends who are, you know, helping chop and all that, will have food, and we will have vegan food as well for those of you who are vegan. So there will be Iranian food at the event. So please come, an art for sale and silent auction.
Oof, I'm excited to see all of you since I've been away for so many weeks. It's a good homecoming for me to see all the people I love in one room. I'm proud of you, Seema. I love you so much. You're always inspiring me to be better and to keep moving. And I see how hard you show up for all of us. And I'm happy to be here to show up for you and your community as well.
Thank you. And you have always shown up for us. You know, ACS has basically provided space for us. When I say ACS, I equate it with Nasreen. For me, ACS is Nasreen, but of course, there are many other people. But Nasreen has never said no. You have never said no when we had fundraisers or we had, just Christmas dinner for students who don't have, you know, who are not going to their families, or having watch parties during the genocide, and many other events. ACS has provided the space for us. So we really appreciate you. Thank you. And thank I appreciate you. You in particular, and I love you and miss you, and I hope you come back soon.
I'll be back next week, I promise. So can you tell us a little bit about the song you're going to share with our listeners today?
Oh, yeah. So, you know, there are many new songs that have come out, of course. And but I have a song that is very nostalgic for me, and that is called Sepide, or Iran e Sarayomid. It's a song that came out soon after the Iranian Revolution. It was made by, one of the Iranian traditional music masters, Reza Lotfi, and it was the lyrics are from a poem by Hushang Ebtehaj, and the singer is Mohammad Reza Shajarian, the master of Iranian music, who passed away a few years ago. So it's a beautiful song that is about Iran. Literally, it means Iran, the home of hope. And it's basically about being hopeful and victorious despite the enemy. An enemy's bloodied hand, trying to basically take away our sun, our hope. But you know, the sun will continue to rise in Iran, and that is, you know, the hope that we have, not just for Iran, but for our neighbors, for Afghanistan, for Iraq, for Palestine, Syria, and many other places that are devastated by the U.S. empire and by the Zionist regime.
Thank you, Seema, for being here with us today.
Of course, thank you for having me, and stay safe, and I hope to see you soon when you come back next week.
اتحاد اتحاد رمز پیروزی است، صلح و آزادی جاودان بر همه جهان خوش باد، یادگار خون عاشقان ای بهار، ای بهار تازه جاودان در این چمن شکفته باد.
Permiso rechazado, juntos enfrentamos injusticias del Estado. Palestino, latino, andino no será callado. Palestino, latino, andino no será callado.
It's border control, congesting our soul, taking its toll on us all. We're gonna dissolve. Mexico, Bethlehem, war. If you hear us, heed the call.
The facts are, I will lead her, I will do my level best, to stand up for freedom and democracy around the world by keeping the United States of America strong and by keeping our eyes wide open.
老美常嫌我的国家不够世俗，老美却似乎忘记了他们曾经资助我国的圣战者，以阻挡人民民主党是世纪禁止同文难度地改革等等主张，就因为他拉近得到邻国苏联的支持，在伊朗实施的你们害得我们的子子孙孙无法想象我们曾憧憬的日子，很多小孩还没听闻世事就已经变成了时事，众人皆知苏联在1979年出兵阿富汗，可是你们依旧不愿承认，在那之前 CIA 都先勾结穆贾赫丁，尽管他们捍卫那充满剥削的封建制度，但认地主们又不清楚，你把苏军引入陷阱，再指着他们侵入我国的领土，今日战场我要你听清楚，你所谓的自由民主，清楚了老百姓的幸福。
The name of today's military operation is Enduring Freedom. We defend not only our precious freedoms but also the freedom of people everywhere to live and raise their children free from fear. I know many Americans feel fear today and our government is taking strong precautionsAll law enforcement and intelligence agencies are working aggressively.
上个世纪说是反共，这个世纪说是反恐，实际上你只在乎极少数人的繁荣，是谁暗中煽动反动分子颠覆他国的政权，哪个混蛋制造的混乱导致塔利班的呈现，不用争辩，侵略我们是为了人权，为了就医还是为了自然能源，阿富汗为土库曼和巴基斯坦之间有资格建搞政变，根本是为了实现土阿巴印天然气管道的建设，牵扯九一一就轻易把平民给骗了，说盖达组织在阿富汗策划恐怖攻击，为何德国还是西班牙就都没有被你空袭，你们的通病是把我们的人民当作统计，你们只同情自己的百种兄弟，所有被压迫的民族和我要你看清楚，资本家的自由民主如何清除人民的幸福。
We do not seek to occupy other nations. We will not claim another nation's resources or target other peoples because their faith or ethnicity is different from ours. What we have fought for is a better future for our children and grandchildren, and we believe that their lives will be better if other peoples.Children and grandchildren can live in freedom.
用土制炸弹的人叫恐怖分子，开飞机就凭化油弹的人却可能升职，你们的政治决定全世界人民的生死，难道你还不懂我们为何跟你有争执，朝鲜的城市统统都被烧一弹烧毁，他们南方同胞还被送去越南做炮灰，遭受性暴力对待的美兰村民被宰之后，老美不但没有悔改，还期望大家崇洋媚外，不论国内外过去或未来，美国的财富根本基建于别人的痛苦悲哀，从前帝到前女，在黑人的眼里美国梦仅是占人便宜的骗局，记不记得飞城警察用炸弹残杀黑人，炸古巴航空飞机的又是谁支持的罪人，我说出这些事实使之成为普遍知识之子。
The scourge of our planet today is a small group of rogue regimes that violate every principle on which the United Nations is based. If the righteous many do not confront the wicked few, then evilWe'll try it.
You know, we got two birds. We're still firing.
Roger.
Got him.
2-6, this is 2-6. We'll move, but we got this.
Oh, fuck, sorry. I was on.
Bypass.
God damn it, Kyle. Sorry. All right. I hit him.
I'm going to say a lot of things that a lot of people may find difficult, may find challenging, things that may get me in trouble, but I think that comes with the territory, 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 territory.
Red party, blue party, 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 red party, blue party.
I shoot for my party, I loot for my party, I root.For my party, fake news. For my party, break rules. For my party, a crew. From my party, hate views. From your party, I'm crude. Cause your party, I spew hatred, violence, abuse. For my party, refuse. From my party, to lose. To your party, this party, it don't end. Only talk to our friends. We only care about winning, so our means, it justify our ends.
Red party, blue party, 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 red party, blue party,
custom to your custom. So I custom and his cousin and it caused him cuts and concussions with our cushions and it crushed him. Now he's asking question to the Christian.
Your religion, superstition, play the victim, but evicted all the women and the children. Went and killed them, could have healed them or appealed them. Been a real friend, listening here and made it clear that you were near them. And in realness, that your politics not the only time you die on hill, yeah, on hill, yeah, on hill, yeah, on hill, yeah. And it's all in the name of Red Party, Blue Party, 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 Red Party.
They took the naked Jesus, dressed him up in a MAGA hat, gray suits and baggy pants. Republican who packed a strap, clapped hands when Afghanistan was bombed. Weapons from Saddam, reportedly in Iraq, something wrong with hijab, so we mop. Ratchatting your imams and they moms and they sons and they daughters. Cut water supplies, tore our family from their fathers. Took innocent men and then they labeled them jihadists. Labeled them jihadists. In the name of
Red Party, Blue Party, 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 Red Party.
Respectfully, I ain't down with Pax Romana, so I'ma give him peace of mind. The people want a piece of iron nines, driving down the boulevard, let's I squeeze a piece of iron, take all the breadcrumbs and feed a 5,000 equal piece of pie. This is my alternative to partisan politics, huh? Most think they right, they think I'm liberal apologists, huh? They empty shells and empty digital hollow tips, huh? I understand that this might lose me my following, huh? But I'm at peace because I know that I follow him, huh? So keep your
Red Party, Blue Party, 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 Red Party, Blue Party.
Wadi, Chanka, Moche, Nazca, Pacha, Mama, Quechua, Aymara, Imaina, Yam, Sumak, Sumakta, Ayacuchana, Viru, Wanta, Titi, Kaha, Uru, Bamba, Kimwa, Takna, Kaha, Maka, Ata, Walpa, Waina, Kapak, Mama, Okyo, Manco, Kapak, Sumakta causa kusum paya mama ita purin kinchu kapat raimi pusak sutai ka benilda luis rojas wakpem pachapoyu kachkan inti mama kia imaina yam sky waranka sky chunka wenya naikipa sunku chukcha wakpem pachapoyu kachkan inti mama kia imaina yam ha sky waranka sky chunka wenya naikipa sunku chukcha riman kichu manachu kechwa harawe harawe nyawe kimsa kashkani rakmi wari taitai sutaika inka chuki chinchai. Please don't ask me for a translation, cause I'm only repping first nation. Please don't talk to me about decolonization when you still speaking in the colonizer's language. See, you genocide us, then you colonize us. See, you sterilize us, and now you fetishize us. See, you stigmatize us, then homogenize us, trying to co-opt the movement and gentrify us. I say no. Land back, please. Stolen land under siege. Land back, land back, land back, please. Stolen land under siege.
This is a public service announcement. Have the right not to
actually try it. Know your rights. These are your rights. Oh, know your rights. These are your rights. Oh, the other. Ha! And it has been suggested in some